How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, he is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled?
Hello and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm glad that you're back with me on the broadcast this week. And so we pick it up here in John chapter 3, verse number 8. We'll pick it up there. The Lord Jesus Christ describes to Nicodemus about the moving of the Spirit of God, that ye must be born again. Marvel not, in verse 7, that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. You've been physically born, Nicodemus. When I'm saying be born again, I'm not talking about you entering into your mother's womb again. I'm talking about you being born of the Spirit of God. You must be born again. Verse 8, he describes it and explains it. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. You can't see the wind, Nicodemus, but you see the effects of the wind. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. The Spirit moves, the Word of God is preached, and God has made a promise that he's going to use those things, the preaching of the Word of God, the preaching of the gospel, the moving of the Holy Spirit of God, and folks are going to be moved, they're going to be stirred, they're going to be saved by the Lord. Verse 9, Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, verse 10, art thou a master in Israel and knowest not these things? Nicodemus, you're a leader. You sit on the Sanhedrin. You're an elder. You're one of the 70 elders and amongst the nation of Israel, and you don't understand these things? Verse 11. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, another verily, verily, the third verily, verily, I believe, as he's dealing with Nicodemus, one in verse 3, one in verse 5, and listen to what he says in verse 11. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, Nicodemus, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. Verse 12, if I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? So, wow, he takes this to Nicodemus, and he brings him down, he rebukes him, and that's what we need is rebuke. We need rebuke, as we mentioned last time. We need to be told the truth, and it's hard on us. It's hard on our old carnal fleshly mind. We don't want to be told we're wrong. Nobody wants to be told that they're wrong. But the coming of the gospel and the preaching of the gospel and the Word of God coming to us and telling us the truth about our sin, our wickedness, our depravity before God, we need that honesty and we need that rebuke. We need it so that we might see the truth. And we just might not be left there. What a terrible problem for someone to have an issue, have a problem that they don't know that they have, an issue, whatever it is. You just pick the scenario, and they've got something wrong that's detrimental to them, that's going to hurt them. And in the short term and in the long term, it's hurting them now, and it's going to hurt them in the coming future. More and more and more. And all their friends around them don't tell them. Now, telling them the truth will be an enlightenment to where they can be helped. But if no one around them tells them the truth, they'll just go on that way and it'll continue to hurt them more and more and more and more. That's the way it is with us. We need told the truth. We need to be told the truth from God's word. And here the Lord Jesus Christ is dealing with Nicodemus and telling him the truth. Are you a master in Israel and you don't understand this? If I tell you things of the earth to tell about the working of God and you don't understand it, how are you going to understand if I tell you very spiritual and heavenly things, Nicodemus? When we get down to the meat of the Word of God and we get down to the real substance, the substance that the children of God are to move on to, yeah, milk is good and we need milk and babes need milk. But the Lord Jesus Christ and God our Heavenly Father, He expects us as his children to grow in the grace and knowledge of his truth, to grow in the grace and knowledge of his word, to not just be feeding on milk. And a lot of times we got to dispense milk to those that are young in the faith, and those that are young and tender in the faith. They need to grow. They need that sincere milk of the word. But the Lord expects his people to grow up and be mature and to grab a hold of more of the word of God and to be reinforced and built up in the most holy faith in the word of God. And Nicodemus, arriving to the point of being one in the Sanhedrin, one of the 70 elders that's there, if that's the case and that we understand with him, the Lord Jesus Christ expects him to be a mature man in the word. And he's not. And he rebukes him for it. And we need that rebuke. You know what? God Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God the Spirit, God Almighty, when he rebukes us for our good. He tells us the truth for our good. We got to understand that. And may people be helped to understand that that's the case. We need the truth, and the truth to this old fleshly mind and heart and flesh, it is going to be a rebuke because we're sinners. But you know what? The Lord tells us the truth so that we can be helped, so that we can be saved, so that we can see what is right and true. If I've told you earthly things, verse 12, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And he's talking about belief. He doesn't believe the Lord about being born again. He's confounded and confused. He doesn't see the spiritual aspect yet. And I think we see a very interesting transition here in verse number 13. The Lord Jesus Christ receives Nicodemus. He deals with him to his need. But I think in the previous verses that we've seen, we see the Lord Jesus Christ dealing with Nicodemus, where the Lord takes the position and makes the assumption. The Lord knows all things, but he takes the position of Nicodemus being a saved man. He's an elder in Israel. He's a ruler in Israel. That would be the indication, would it not? The government in Israel is a blending of that which is governmental and, if you will, secular, and that which is, as we would refer to it, religious. That's the government that God gave Israel. It's all wrapped up into one. It's religious and secular or governmental, all wrapped up into one. And so Nicodemus, he is to make judgment over the people and deal with the affairs of the people, as Moses was given good advice by Jethro, his father-in-law, to appoint 70 men to help him with judging Israel. That's where the Sanhedrin came from. And it was good. It was good advice because Moses couldn't bear the burden of the people. Well, those men were supposed to be just. They were supposed to be honest. They were supposed to be faithful men in the word. The requirement wasn't that they were good business owners, or that they were politicians, or appealing to the people. But the first requirement was that they be holy men, men that would adhere and would judge right according to the word of God. So he chides Nicodemus for his failure to understand these things that a saved man should understand. And in verse 13, the Lord Jesus Christ makes the transition in dealing with Nicodemus as a man not saved. That's what I believe we see here. Verse 13. And no man hath ascended up to heaven, Nicodemus, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. Nicodemus, no man's made a way to God. No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. Wow. What a verse that has so much in it. No man's made a way up to God, Nicodemus. No man's made a way to heaven. There's only one that's done so, and he is the one that's come down from heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man, that one that was ordained by God to be born of a virgin before the foundation of the world, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. His name shall be called Jesus because he shall save his people from their sins. The Lord Jesus Christ. And we've talked to you about his names. Lord, he is the ruler. He is the King of all. The King of kings and Lord of lords. He will reign as one day. Jesus, that's his earthly name, because he's going to save his people from their sins. Christ, he's the Messiah. He's the Redeemer. He's the one that's promised to the children of Israel, to Israel, and to the world in the Old Testament scriptures, the Lord Jesus Christ. No man's made a way from heaven, made a way to heaven, but the one that came down from heaven, the Son of God that became a man. Not a Son of God, but the only begotten Son of God, God the Son. And he says there in the latter part of verse 13, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. That's present tense, if I remember my English right. And no man hath ascended up to heaven, that's past tense, but he that came down from heaven, past tense, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. Is the Lord Jesus Christ saying that he is still in heaven? Well, physically he's not, but spiritually he is, because he is God. That's what we saw in the previous chapter, that the Lord said, destroy this temple and I'll raise it up in 3 days. I, because I am God, I have the power to take my life back again. And that is the authority by which, because I am God, that I've thrown you out of the temple. That's what he said. To Nicodemus, he's saying the same thing. The Son of Man which is in heaven has made the way to heaven by coming down and becoming a man. And then he goes ahead and here in verse 14, and he gives another type, another indication of what he's going to do. And, okay, verse 13 started off with and. Verse 14 starts off with and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. The children of Israel found over there, and I think they have to go, if my memory serves me right, they had to go around Edom. The way is hard. They murmur. They complain against the Lord because the way is hard. It's rocky. If we understand the geography right and the topography right, it's on a hillside, it's kind of hill, it's hilly, and it's on a slant, and it's rocky. And they're having a hard time. Hard time for the people to travel, hard time for the animals to get around, hard time for the little ones, hard time for the wagons. It's just a hard way. What do? They begin to murmur. They begin to murmur and complain. The Lord sends fiery serpents amongst them. It wasn't their enemies that sent the fiery serpents. It was God. He did that to chastise them. Folks are being bit and folks are dying. The people go to Moses and they say, we've sinned, and entreat the Lord for us. Moses entreats the Lord on behalf of the children of Israel. And the Lord says, make a snake, make a serpent out of brass, fasten it to a pole, and lift it up, that whosoever looks upon the serpent will live. Look and live. There's a song that we sing named Look and Live. Look and live, my brother, live. Look to Jesus now and live. It's recorded in his word, hallelujah. It is only that you look and live. And so as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Those who were bitten by serpents in the desert, in the wilderness in that day, if they looked at that brazen serpent, they lived. And those in our day, and we that are here in this day, the command is given by the Lord himself in the day of his ministry, dealing here with Nicodemus, that just like Moses lifted up that serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Lord, the Son of Man, be lifted up. Jesus Christ was crucified on a tree, and sinners are commanded to look and live. Look and live. Well, I see our time has passed. Farewell until next time. May the Lord bless you with his truth and his word.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn onto State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you will find our church house on the right, just beside Whippoorwill Creek. We're interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-7918, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next Sunday at this same time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.